Please be seated. I was skimming through one of my church-related email blasts last week and came across a reference to something called the Positive Lexicography Project. The originator is a professor and author who specializes in the field of positive psychology. He has compiled online what he calls an evolving index of untranslatable words related to well-being from across the world's languages. According to an article in The New Yorker, he gathered, quote, words in foreign languages that described positive traits, feelings, experiences, and states of being that had no direct counterparts in English. The article went on to describe the project's collection as a veritable catalog of life's many joys, featuring terms like utepils, Norwegian, a beer that is enjoyed outside, particularly on the first hot day of the year, imbuki imvuki, Bantu, to shed clothes and dance uninhibited, Tarab, Arabic, musically induced ecstasy or enchantment, and Gigil, Tagalog, the irresistible urge to pinch or squeeze someone because they are loved or cherished. The author's stated aim was to expose cultural expressions of well-being so as to increase the understanding and experience of well-being. He may be onto something. Like you, I laughed when I read those words and got a shot of well-being just by reading through them. Today's lesson from Acts describes something that ought to have a special word in the well-being lexicon. It would be defined as to regale speakers of other languages as if one has consumed too much wine. For that, we don't actually need a completely new word. We need simply to turn a noun into a verb and say that on the day described, the disciples Pentecosted. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. If we were to list our favorite celebrations of the church year, it would probably not start with Pentecost, but instead with Christmas and Easter. And yet, one could argue that Pentecost should be number one. After all, Christmas and Easter commemorate events that happened once and then were over. Jesus was born and Christ was risen. Thereby, salvation was secured once and for all. Pentecost is different. It commemorates the day the first followers of Jesus received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it celebrates the Holy Spirit for having stuck around. The Holy Spirit is a gift that keeps on giving. For over 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has accompanied believers in changing times, in changing places, in changing situations. It accompanies us today, continuing to move through our lives and in the world around us. The Holy Spirit is often described as a wind from God. Wind is simply moving air. Air is made up of the chemicals that sustain life for animals and plants. Its largest component is nitrogen. It also contains a large measure of oxygen and a small one of carbon dioxide. Animals take in oxygen and release carbon dioxide. Plants take in carbon dioxide and release oxygen. It's amazing, really, this beneficial exchange of the very same atoms between living beings so different in type. Maybe that's why I feel so compelled to talk to the plants in my office. It seems to me that this exchange between things so different in type, this wave breaking back and forth, is a form of codependency. Though you don't hear much about it these days, codependent is a word that became common during the 1980s, peaking perhaps with the 1986 publication of the best-selling book, Codependent No More. I read that book during the 1990s when most of my female friends were reading it too. The word codependent is used to describe the behavior of a person who enables another person's dysfunctional behavior to the extent that their own sense of self becomes reliant on that dynamic. Pathological codependency is certainly a problem, and a big one in our culture. But I wonder if that word codependency is one that deserves to be revisited. The fact is, despite our American individualism with its pull yourself up by your bootstraps ideal, we are always mutually codependent in an infinite complex of relationships. Our entire daily routine is a series of exchanges. Regardless of where we are on the socioeconomic map, we exist in what might be called codependent relationships with every aspect of creation. That's true whether we acknowledge it or not. It's true whether we like it or not. We are intimate participants in a codependent dance that does, in fact, contain the risk of turning pathological to the detriment of all involved. In light of last week's events around the Paris Accord, the example that comes to mind is our American overdependence on fossil fuels and its effect on our planet. The solution is not to ignore our codependency, but rather to understand it so that we can transform it. Let's start by recognizing that a certain amount of codependency must have been what God intended, because it's exactly how God created and later recreated. One aspect of the story of Pentecost is that it describes the Holy Spirit as available to the earth and its inhabitants without discrimination. Whether we can see it or not, it falls equally on privilege and deprivation. It falls on everyone and everything, and there's plenty enough to go around. If we tap into it, we can use our recharge to help others tap into it too. The Holy Spirit draws us into the universal existence of which we are only a part. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we trade competition for collaboration and contempt for compassion, attaining a codependence that is not isolating illness, but rather the most robustly contagious health. Maybe we need a new word for that. And maybe that word can increase our sense of well-being. How about something like, instead of codependence, Pentecostance? We might define Pentecostance as behavior grounded in the spirit-driven awareness that all people, and in fact all parts of creation, are infinitely yet intimately interdependent, the pursuit of which behavior results in feelings of intense joy and peace. I hope that the positive lexicography project is correct, that the revealing of the words brings us the well-being that the words describe. Our reading from 1 Corinthians reminds us of the varieties of spiritual gifts bestowed on us as individuals, We could say that we bring our gifts to our Pentecostal relationships with other people and with all creation. With one Spirit, we are one body. As the note on the front of today's service bulletin says, this morning's liturgy was designed to reflect and emphasize the Pentecost themes of the gift of the Holy Spirit to believers of all tongues and their strengthening for mission by that Holy Spirit. This service's variety of languages and cultures is intended to remind us of the many languages and cultures that constitute the body of Christ. The mix of those elements perhaps evokes the holy chaos of the day of Pentecost. Ours is not the sole or the most important expression of Christian faith. Sometimes the most important expression of Christian faith lies outside our doors. It's all a part of the great codependent, or rather Pentecostal, exchange. Let's have a little bit more science. For those of you who don't know me well, I used to be an engineer. The common states of matter are solid, liquid, and gas. Air is, of course, a gas. Gases contain much more energy than solids and liquids. Molecules of gas both vibrate and zip around rapidly, colliding with each other and filling the container within which they are bound. Unbound, these energetic molecules are free to roam all over. Humans, on average, inhale and exhale about 2 gallons of air every minute. That 2 gallons of air contains something like 10 to the 23rd molecules. That's a one with 23 zeros after it. My math may be a little off, but you get the drift. Every minute we breathe gazillions of molecules. We can't see them, but I'm pretty sure it's okay to believe the science that tells us they are there. Okay, to move closer to where I'm headed, let's try going with the metaphor that the Holy Spirit is a wind from God. Let's imagine that the molecules of Holy Spirit are in the air we breathe, each one vibrating and flying with energetic, tiny angel wings. Even if those Holy Spirit molecules are only a very small proportion of the substances that make up the air we breathe, that would still be a whole lot of molecules. This time of year, when we think or speak of air, it's likely because we're concerned about the contained allergens. As sneezes, congestion, and drippy noses demonstrate, allergens are substances minuscule in number, but majuscule in impact. I can't cite the science, but I'm pretty certain that the Holy Spirit is in the air we breathe, the air we share. Maybe, like those irritating allergens, only a few molecules of Holy Spirit make a really big difference. Maybe the Holy Spirit is like a good allergen. Its molecules enter our bodies, but give us a sense of well-being and strength to help bring that well-being to others. It's Pentecost. Take a deep breath.